Here in Ireland, even the currency is musical, emblazoned with the harp, the national symbol. It was the instrument of Ireland's first great composer, the 17th century bard and harper Carolan. Coming up, we're going to meet and listen to some of the musicians who follow in his footsteps in Ireland today. From PRI, Public Radio International, this is Sounds Irish, a production of Minnesota Public Radio in association with Lyric FM, Ireland's national classical music and arts station. I'm Tom Cran. Stay with me for a St. Patrick's Day celebration of classical music in Ireland today.
Sounds Irish is supported by Ireland.com, your link to Ireland for breaking news coverage and analysis, and a range of services from email accounts to ancestor research facilities. All about Ireland at www.ireland.com.
Their name, Dardan, an Irish word that literally means deep sound or hum or buzz, but it really doesn't do this sweet-sounding group from Galway justice. They play traditional Irish music, and Handel, too. This is Sounds Irish. Hi, I'm Tom Crant. Greetings from St. Patrick's Cathedral, Dublin. Today, the church is busy with some of the thousands of tourists who come here each year. Now, of course, many people would come to St. Patrick's for spiritual refreshment. Just outside the church on the north side is a lovely park, and there is found St. Patrick's Well, and that is a site that is believed to be where St. Patrick baptized many converts to Christianity in Dublin in the 5th century. It is the oldest Christian site in Dublin. Now, many people would come here for the splendid Gothic architecture as well. Parts of this church date from the 13th century. And many people would make a literary pilgrimage here. Jonathan Swift, the author of Gulliver's Travels, was the dean of St. Patrick's Cathedral from 1713 until 1745. But what you may not know is that St. Patrick's holds a special significance for Irish music, too. The choir here has been singing services twice a day since 1432. You can also see an organ console that Handel actually played himself in a visit to Dublin in 1742. It's a visit, incidentally, that resulted in the first performance anywhere of Messiah. Ah, here he is now, harp at the ready, Turlough O'Carolan. The sculpture is inscribed, "Erected to the memory of Carolan, the last of the Irish bards." Carolan was born in 1670 in County Meath, and he lived entirely in Ireland until he died in 1738. I'm just going to read you the plaque that is below his sculpture here at St. Patrick's. Carolan was one of the last wandering musicians of the ancient Irish tradition. Blind as the result of a smallpox infection, Carolan traveled throughout Ireland composing music and verse for those willing to offer him patronage. More than 200 of his melodies survive, including one he created to accompany an Irish poem translated by Dean Swift of this very cathedral. Carolan was the most beloved Irish composer of his day. When he died, hundreds of people, rich and poor, mingled freely at his four-day funeral. That's the sound of the Irish Chamber Orchestra, led by their artistic director Fionnuala Hunt, in T.C. Kelly's arrangement of Carolyn's Concerto for a Baroque-style orchestra. It's probably the best-known piece by the bard of the Baroque in Ireland, Turlough O'Carolan. On the computer on my desk, I've posted a definition I cut out from the Oxford Dictionary of Music when I first got here. Leader, then in brackets, American concertmaster, German concertmeister. 1. Principal first violin of a symphony orchestra. 2. Often used in the USA for conductor, e.g., Ormandy leads the Philadelphia Orchestra in. Well, I did that to remind myself when I first got here that the word leader has a different musical definition on this side of the Atlantic. However you define leader, Fionnuala Hunt defines it in her work with the Irish Chamber Orchestra, of which she's been leader since 1995. She comes from Belfast, and from there she headed off on scholarship to London's Royal Academy of Music and to the Hochschule in Vienna. She's soloed with all the main Irish orchestras, and she's led orchestras from literally around the world. She's just back from a stint playing Vivaldi's Four Seasons with the Wheeling Symphony Orchestra in West Virginia. She was soloist and leader on that occasion. I asked her about her duties as leader of the Irish Chamber Orchestra just before she took that band on a nine-stop tour of Ireland.
I'm very involved, obviously, with the whole office and the whole workings of the orchestra. I have to do program planning well in advance. I have to decide what artists we play with, etc., etc. I have to decide where this orchestra wants to be in 4 or 5 years' time, and I have to work towards that. I have to keep my players in order, and I have to decide who I want to play with. You know, auditions, new players, keep my ear to the ground about all the good young people coming up. And then this is an orchestra which is mostly directed by myself, and we also have not a principal conductor but a principal guest conductor who comes in. That's Bruno Giurana, by the way, the great Italian viola player, and he comes in and he does two sets of work with us during the season. We also invite some other guest conductors to come in to do occasional slots, and apart from that I direct everything else. I find it quite a help to have guest conductors coming in now and again, because the job is extremely exhausting for me. If I come to the end of a 9-concert tour, for example, that I've directed, I'm not fit to lift up off the ground, to be honest with you. It is very mentally and physically exhausting, so it's good to have a little bit of a change then. And it's good for the players as well that they see a fresh face and somebody fresh to work with who has new ideas.
Now, I want to talk about how the chamber orchestra fits into the musical life of this country. Obviously, touring and playing outside of the larger cities is really important to you, isn't it?
It's very important, and it's part of our brief from the Arts Council who fund us, in fact. And I think the interesting thing about the Chamber Orchestra is its size. We're 19 string players, and we have the possibility of playing in all sorts of venues around the country that, for example, the Symphony Orchestra can't do because they can't fit into it. And so this gives us the chance to go into smaller communities and really also do quite a lot of educational work in those small communities. And the response from people who wouldn't have a lot of chance to hear a chamber orchestra or to hear any sort of classical music at all played live, it's just the most wonderful thing. They're completely lit up. That's the only way I can explain it to you. They enjoy it so much, and it's such a joy for us to bring that to people all over the country.
Finding, let's say, unearthing, rediscovering Irish music.
Absolutely. I mean, I just feel that we need to play and perform Irish contemporary composers as much as we possibly can, and not just in Ireland, but very much outside the country, because it certainly gives them a chance to become better known as Irish composers all over the world. And also I feel that it's important for the music that it's played at its best, and that can only be done when you're aware of the music and you've rehearsed it.
Irish Chamber Orchestra, led by Fionnuala Hunt, from their CD of Irish string music called Silver Apples of the Moon. The title is a line from Yeats. We heard the last movement of a suite for strings by Joan Trimble. She was born in 1915 in Enniskillen, and she and her sister Valerie made a splash in the 40s and 50s as a popular piano duo in England and Ireland, and on stage and on the radio. The Irish Chamber Orchestra have a strong commitment to Irish composers, and as you heard, their rich, full string tone makes them consistently sound like the more than 19 players you'd see on stage. If you're near the nation's capital in May, don't miss Fionnuala Hunt and the Irish Chamber Orchestra on the 19th at the Kennedy Center as part of Ireland, the Arts from Ireland Festival. They'll premiere a new work by Limerickman Bill Whelan of Riverdance and Dancing at Lunasa fame. Well, while you were celebrating the Millennium Weekend, a group of young musicians here in Ireland were working hard, very hard. We're going to hear more about them and the fruits of their labor coming up on Sounds Irish.
How are ya? Maybe I should say top of the morning, but here in Ireland we never say top of the morning. We sometimes say how are ya, and today we say Banachtina Fela Porik. I'm Eamon Lawler. I host Into the Evening, the Drive Time music program on Lyric FM. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You're listening to Sounds Irish from PRI, Public Radio International.